Moncrief on News Talk.
Barbara and Declan are here.
We're here.
You're there.
We're here.
I've been with my boyfriend for 9 years. We're both in our mid-30s. I'm dying to get married. The more weddings we go to, the more embarrassing it gets, and I'm still there without a ring. People always make light-hearted comments, and while they seem to go way over his head, they really hurt me. The honest answer is, I have no idea why he hasn't proposed. I've made it clear that I want to get married, and at this stage, neither of us are getting any younger. I want that's an odd one. There isn't a stage in life where you get younger. I just want to point that out for the sake of accuracy. I want the big day. I also want the commitment of marriage. I find it mortifying to be introducing the person I've shared nearly a decade of my life with as my boyfriend. My friends say that I need to give him an ultimatum, because he's far too relaxed. I think this sounds so unromantic, but also, if we're ever going to get married, things need to start moving soon. At the moment, I feel like he has all the power in this and is making me so upset. Every time I get my hopes up that a proposal might happen, I get so much sadder when it doesn't.
Honestly, God almighty. This letter absolutely incensed me. Like, I was thinking, it's 2025 and here we are with this woman still waiting for a man to make a proposal. Yeah. I mean, what kind of fairy tale nonsense is this? Like, surely a couple who are in a long relationship of 9 years, you know, already have a kind of commitment to each other.
Yeah.
Surely they have talked at some stage about the future. And if that is marriage, if that is important to them, and maybe kids and buying a house and all the other things that come with a long... Surely they have spoken about that. Or is she waiting for him to get down on a bended knee and make a big proposal of marriage before they go and talk about all that other stuff? I just don't understand. This is not what decades of feminism fought for, this nonsense.
I know, but if she appears in public with a ring, the first question she'll get asked, and I'm going to make a sweeping gendered statement here.
Okay.
The first question she'll be asked by other women is, oh, how did he do it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. She won't be able to say, well, I told him he didn't get off his arse and marry me. I would have burned him off.
That is
this
so
is
depressing.
Not about her getting married and having a lifelong commitment and all of her arguments.
I know what you're going to say.
Her arguments are all nonsense. This is about her having a story, her Instagram moment. Actually, ironically, this afternoon I was flicking through Instagram and I saw this story that some young one had put up about her, the amazing effort her boyfriend had made towards this kind of... He booked out the Royal Albert Hall and he had violence. And it's all this big, like, massive, big Instagram moment so that she can turn around to her friends when they come up and go, oh, how did he do it? That she has the best story.
I am so proud that my Instagram algorithm doesn't serve me up that baloney that would give me a heart attack.
It does raise the question why it serves it up to Declan, though.
Yeah, exactly. I don't get this nonsense on my Instagram.
I'm bitching about Bridezilla so much.
Yeah, exactly.
Go here.
Let's give this guy
the Instagram likes to provoke conflict, so obviously it knows that it's going to wind me up. It was just one of those things, and I think maybe somebody I know had commented in derogatory terms. I raised it up as an example of
where she's coming from.
Yeah, and now I'm going to be really mental and say, to be fair to her, that's the ecosystem in which she's operating in.
Yeah.
I mean, I live with young women, none of whom are, well, one of whom is married and the other two aren't in big, long relationships or anything. But, I mean, seriously, I would be so depressed. I know there's always...
Some girls.
Yeah, I know there's
hashtag
always a cohort.
Some women.
Not all women.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, I just think this is, you know, I mean, getting married is not about the ring on your finger. It's not about the day out. It's not even about romance. It's a pragmatic decision that you have to make, that you're going to... You know, hitch your wagon up. It should be.
But it's not.
But
I mean, nowadays, the reality of it is that, you know, people want to present their best life in society. They want to be able to say, this is what's happening to me. People want to be participating in life in the same way that their peers are. Whether that means they have, you know, the great holidays, they have the loving partner, they have the marriage, all that stuff. It's all about, you know, I'm meant to be doing this. There's pressures on people to be moving through life at the same rate, at the same pace, and at the same success.
But if you don't learn, I mean, if they've been together for 9 years, they've got to be in their 30s, right?
Yeah.
Chances are they're in their 30s. If they haven't learned by now that that is all baloney and window dressing and of absolutely no consequence to anything or anybody, that life is about a whole load more serious things than how it appears to everybody else, and it's not a competition. And I mean, they're on an absolute height to
nothing.
That's
capitalism. The reality of it is that life is a competition and people are sucked in to the competition. In fact,
I wasn't that dopey. Now, possibly because I was an unmarried mother and a single parent and a whole load of things that took all the...
Scandalous.
took all the gloss off life to a certain extent. But like... I can't understand that people in their 30s would be that daft, and that this woman is daft to be sitting around 9 years later looking at him thinking, oh, I hope he asks me to marry
him. But she's not the only one. She's in a group of people where that's the conversation, and it is a, you know, nobody's getting any younger, because that's what happens.
What I worry about is women waiting for him to make a proposal.
Which is why earlier on I said this is not about marriage, because I would imagine that in the context of their commitment to each other and the plans of sharing their life together, they're pretty much on the same page and they trust each other and they know that. This engagement nonsense is kind of wedged in. It's like a time machine that brings their real life back into 1950, when she's look, or even like, you know, the Middle Ages, where she's trying to get, you know, the big elaborate moment, the big day, all that stuff, which is the kind of an anachronism. And it's
we done wrong then that women still, not all women, that women still are operating like that, like as if they're living
because
in the 50s.
It's materialism. It's not even that. It's like this is in this has the same societal importance as having a nice kitchen.
Or a gender reveal party for your baby.
People come along and go, oh, the church is lovely. Yeah. Oh, look at the flowers. Oh, my God, the dinner was really nice. And
aesthetic.
They're putting on a big spread for people. Oh, it's virtually nothing to do with the relationship, because that was all. And in this case, they're 9 years together. That's done and dusted. They have a life together.
So maybe this is about profoundly depressed. I was depressed enough coming in with the news. This now I'm totally depressed.
Yes, Gaza, and now this.
Now women still waiting for men to get down and make a big showy proposal.
If she's
God's sake,
she might be happy with the answer. Should she ask him, or should she have maybe a completely different sort of conversation with him?
Sit down and have a pragmatic conversation about what they want out of life.
But they've already done that. That's what I'm saying. I don't think it's the same thing.
If she recognises
that this is, as I described, a kind of an anachronism, a kind of a weird outlier from everything else that's going on in her relationship with her partner. If she realises that this is just about what she wants and it's not about what the relationship needs.
You're doing the Bridezilla thing again.
It is kind of Bridezilla. But she can be quite, you know, playful and cynical about it. And she needs to then say, all I'm trying to do is to get the guy I'm quite happy with to actually act out a character and do this thing that I want. And if she can actually validate that as a course of action, if she can say that this is actually, I'm willing to go there and make this kind of thing happen, she needs to plan it and she needs to see put the seeds down.
I can't believe you're buying into this baloney.
I'm not buying into it, but I'm planting
seeds. The two of them should sit down like the two grown adults that they are and have an adult conversation about what
the outcome will be is that they're not going to have that.
Get a ring, stick it on your finger if that's what you want. Deadly. But like, just have a conversation. What are you waiting? It's not complicated. Do you want to get married? Does he want to get married?
I think
get engaged, get married.
I think that it's very easy to kind of see these things and, you know, like the ideology of equality and feminism as a kind of this thing that just sweeps through everything in life and it changes everything. But unfortunately, it doesn't. And we don't have a society where the equality and the feminism can actually
sit. But we
know
that. But like, this is just like beyond the beyond.
Is it though?
And it's stupid. It's really stupid.
But we live in a world where there's lots of stupid stuff going on. There's lots of stupid content on the television. There's lots of stupid
You're after people. Telling her to plant seeds. I can't believe you told her to plant seeds.
Because in the process of doing that, she'll realise actually that I'm actually making this happen.
She should take her power as an equal person in this relationship and start the conversation and find out whether he wants to get married, whether marriage is important to him or not.
This isn't about marriage. This is about her engagement. This is about her having a moment that she can turn around.
Yeah, the marriage has nothing to do with it.
It's nothing
really.
To do
it's just
with marriage.
About that day.
Oh, I got home.
It's nothing to
I
do with marriage.
To
it's to do with like your Instagram moment. He did what? Oh wow, that's so romantic.
Oh holy
god. Get in the moment, the Jennifer Aniston moment from a rom-com movie that she saw when she was 14. Oh, I want that to happen. Cuz romance is separate from reality.
That's true.
And so she wants an unreal thing. And so she has unreal expectations. So if she has an unreal expectation and she wants something to happen that's out of the ordinary and she wants it to happen for her, she has to ask him to do it for her because he doesn't get it. He's not going
to
understand.
She's not
realistically speaking, he doesn't. Well, she can if she wants to. All of her friends did. That's how they got it.
Yeah, but he can't be oblivious to all these social pressures. He's been with her 9 years.
That's so what we're worried
about. There's maybe something
that's
going
exactly
on here,
it.
Perhaps.
That's why I'm saying they should sit down and have a conversation. Is he into getting married? Maybe he doesn't want to get married. Maybe he doesn't approve of marriage. Then fine. Then all her dream of the Instagram engagement and all is gone because he's not. He might be fully committed to her, but say, listen, love, I'm not getting married. I have no time for that, Maloney. Yeah. And that's fair enough. And she's got to decide then whether she can live with that. But if she is making
but a very practical, very sound man can be oblivious to the romantic needs of his partner because they're fulfilling each other in a different way.
But that's not the point. Is he not into getting married? Like
that's not. It's not about being married. I keep saying the same thing.
I don't
It's not about being married. It's about her wanting the romantic gesture. That might be out of character for him. He's a really solid, loving person who's just not seeing the world in this crass, materialistic, keeping up with the Joneses way that
maybe.
She is.
Yeah, maybe. Now, a few people suggesting
thanks be to God.
She just ask him.
Yes.
Someone else says, as someone who works in the female-dominated teaching sector, you can tell, Barbara, that unfortunately this is very much the norm. Feminists of old would turn in their graves. Sorry. I just want to take exception to the feminists of old would turn in their graves. They're not all dead now. I want to point that out.
I thought you were going to say they're cremated.
She's referring to the first women.
The feminists of 1916. Either he's committed to you or not. Take it from another idiot who waited. He's just not that into you. Time to move on. Somebody else says it's been 10 years. He has no intention of proposing. She does need to have a serious conversation about their future with him, which she absolutely has not done up to now. Yeah, well, that's true.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
Somebody else says my 35-year-old niece from the US just visited. She got married last year. While hiking this week, she spoke about how disappointed she was on her last visit with her then boyfriend because he didn't propose when they were hiking in Kerry. There were so many perfect spots. I asked her why didn't she propose? She was gobsmacked. It seems to be up to the boyfriend to come up with a plan.
Holy God.
She even asked me where the go-to spots are in Ireland. Can't even remember my proposal. I'm 56. My husband says I asked him.
There you go.
There's somebody else says, yeah, my romantic husband said during The Simpsons, fancy getting engaged. I said yes.
Yeah, there my husband more or less did the same. It wasn't The Simpsons, but I know we were sitting on the sofa watching telly.
I bet you that wasn't even during The Simpsons. It was probably the ad break.
The ads.
Trying to make it sound really romantic.
Now, it's coming back now. Okay. So she needs to have a chat with him, but about the future.
Yeah.
And be realistic about her expectations.
Yeah. I have a medical condition which has made the prospect of me being able to carry my own children impossible. And my partner and I decided that we're going to embrace a life without children. It's not something I regret, as we have been able to have a really nice life with a strong relationship together. I would consider us child-free by choice. Most of our friends did choose to have children, and over the years we've been godparents and attended christenings, birthdays, you name it. Recently I was planning a birthday lunch for my other half and sent around the invite message with details. There was an immediate assumption that their children would be part of this. While we generally don't mind, given this is sort of fancy event that we're paying for, I explained it was adults only. The thing is that I realised for two of my close friends, I haven't actually seen them without their children in about a year. I think this is probably more of a thing for women, as when I asked my partner, he said it's never an issue with his friends. I would rather that we get some time, alone time, adult time. I want to say that I would like for their kids to not always be with us. How can I broach this?
Yikes. Well, okay. So the similarity with the previous question is about like a time of life thing, and it's about people sharing experiences at the same time. And the letter writer here is kind of like the anomaly that they're childless couple while a lot of their friends are raising children, and that automatically sets them apart. I'm going to preface everything I'm saying is that I love kids, but I do sometimes
couldn't eat a whole one.
Yeah. Like only with wine. The reality though is that, you know, I think sometimes people forget that the package of having the kids with them and all that can be intrusive onto the relationship.
I love
that
watching you being very careful.
Yeah,
no,
because I know it's really, it's a very complicated one. Yeah. It's a really complicated one because both sides are kind of right in this scenario, because, you know, this letter writer's friends have kids. They can't undo the fact that they have kids. And the letter writer also wants to hang out with their friends without the kids. And, you know, and what does that mean? That means that they don't want to be faced with their own life choices or whatever. But they, you know, but they also don't want to have the intrusion, because what people who have kids often forget is that when they come in with their kids, that comes, that overshines everything. Certain kinds of conversations aren't possible.
Yeah.
Certain kinds of behaviors aren't possible. And having a kid, people weaponize their kids often in social situations. I have to leave the room now with the kids. I've got, you know, all this kind of stuff about the kids. And it can be a little bit draining, especially if you're not blessed with kids yourself, that it can become a bit of a drag. Now, I think in this instance, though, I have a personal rule that if you're organising an event and you're paying for an event, then you are the one who decides the rules for the event. And in that instance, you know, there's nothing wrong in saying this is this kind of thing and this is what's been organised. But if you do that, you have to be prepared for people to say, okay, fair enough, I get it, but it's not going to be for me. So you have to decide what it is you're trying to achieve. Are you an event organizer, or are you trying to facilitate a meetup with your friends in a way that that's going to work for them? Because those two things aren't the same. And so from that point of view, I think that's the problem. The problem is that somebody's trying to control everything, the environment and the guest list. And that sometimes is beyond the realms of reality.
Right. I read this initially twice and was like, what is the problem here? She's having she invited her friends, some of whom have kids, to something, a lunch for her partner. And she didn't want kids. Now, I'm assuming part of the problem was she wasn't explicit enough in that when she issued the original invitation. And obviously there was questions asked, maybe, because she said she had to explain that it was adults only. So I'm assuming that explanation came after the event. And I think that really is the only problem, that she should have been explicit that this is, it sounds like it's some kind of dodgy thing, be explicit that this is adults only, right? Yeah. But she, like, I kind of agree with you in that you are totally entitled to do that and to say it's adults only. And, you know, like, if you were going out in the, I mean, I have two questions. Number one, I'm wondering why, if you want it that way, you didn't organise a dinner rather than a lunch, because it does make it slightly more complicated for families if you have to find somebody to look after your kids when they're up and they're around, rather than when they're nearly in bed or in bed and asleep. So it does make it a little bit more complicated. But at the same time, it is perfectly doable. And as you say, if you bring kids along to an event, it changes the entire thing, because the kids have to be catered for with food. They also have to be possibly entertained in some way. They're not all going to sit down around a dinner table and be nice and quiet and, you know, kind of colour in their colouring books or whatever. So you're quite entitled. She's quite entitled to say no. But I'm wondering, is she imagining this more in her head as an issue than it actually is?
I think it happened a lot more loose than that. I don't think it's like a formal invitation where the text was incorrect. I think it was text message going, thinking of having a lunch for X's, you know, whatever partner's thing, would you and Brian come, whatever it is? And then the text back goes, and the kids, and then it's like,
that's
how it's going to happen. Then you're in this kind of weird situation.
But why
maybe she's uncomfortable about it because she's not a parent.
Yeah.
And she feels she doesn't have the right to say it to them.
But I don't think, I think she just needs us to say, you're quite entitled to do that. There's nothing 100% wrong with you doing
not,
that. That's
not an indication of a dark, bitter soul.
Yeah, no, it's not.
You're kind of going, no kids
and
allowed.
I mean, I know people who have kids who've had adult only events and said, you know, we're getting the kids minded.
Yeah.
And so it's just us and it's not the kids. Because as you say, it's a completely completely different event if there's no kids involved. The other thing which I just want to make a comment on is that when she said towards the end that I think this is probably more of a thing for women. And I just want to say, yeah, of course it is. Anything to do with childcare is definitely something that is more has more of an impact on women than it ever does than it does usually on fathers or men.
Yeah.
But that's all. But other than that, I think stand by your choice. You're perfectly. That's not like you don't like their kids. You haven't said, "Oh, your kids are troublemakers. I don't want them." All you've said is, "This is an adult only event." I think that's perfectly okay. I don't think you should apologise, and I don't think you should be worried about it.
Again, distinction between whether she's organising the event and the focus is on the event, or whether the objective is to get my best pal, you know, Sandra, to come out to lunch with me, in which case that's a negotiation. What's going to work for you? Would you not love to have the, you know, get away from the kids? Because believe you me,
most parents would be delighted.
Like, yes, open up the red wine. Logistically, I'm coming, but when is it going to happen?
In fact, yeah, I'm a mum of two. I have a 2-year-old. I never want to meet my friends and my child. It means I do not get to talk to them or concentrate.
Yeah.
Give them my attention. And I've no interest in other people's children. They should dictate the terms as the organisers.
Absolutely.
Somebody else says there's nothing complicated about it. There's something wrong with people who want to include their kids in everything.
Yes.
And I have 3 who I love deeply. I love time with my friends without kids.
Yeah. Mm.
So I can be me again instead of just a mother.
So I think the issue is that she's feeling guilty about this and she shouldn't. You know, she's quite within her rights and it's quite acceptable and it's quite all right.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Next question is, about a month ago, I caught my husband watching a porn video. I'm not a prude at all. There's every prude ever. But it really came as a shock, to be honest. We have what I would describe as a healthy sex life. So I couldn't understand why he would need to do something like this. It felt like he was cheating on me. I also felt that my perception of him changed. I felt uncomfortable, like he had a voyeuristic quality that I had been unaware of before. We have talked about it a few times since the incident. He has suggested that rather than shutting down his interest in pornography, we should both embrace it. He said that we should try watching a video some evening together. I'm all for compromise, but I'm still struggling to see how this could help. He thinks it could be a stimulating experience for both of us. Mm-hmm. I have now made a counter offer that we watch an erotic film together, such as Indecent Proposal. Is that an erotic film? But he says he doesn't fancy Demi Moore. I can't win. How can resolve this situation?
Well, first of all, tell him that Demi Moore doesn't look at all like in Indecent Proposal what she looks like now. So maybe he would actually fancy her in Indecent Proposal. I think this is actually very interesting. And it really made me kind of sit down and have a think about porn, which is something I would imagine that most men watch. And I think that a lot of women are reluctant to watch porn, not because of any prudish thing, but because I think what women are afraid of seeing in pornography is women who aren't totally enjoying it. Do you know what I mean? I think that women look at women's faces in pornography and worry about whether they have been coerced or even trafficked or something that isn't quite right. And I think that makes a lot of women uncomfortable. And in actual fact, I think when women do watch porn, they're much more likely to watch lesbian porn, even if they're not lesbian, because it feels safer. It doesn't feel quite as problematic. I think when women look at porn, they don't see another. They very often don't see another woman who's kind of enjoying a wildly liberating experience of, you know, kind of all kinds of sexual excitement. Whereas I think that watching porn together might inject a bit of excitement into their sex lives, I think they need to be careful about what they watch. Now, I think there are feminist porn sites that, you know, acknowledge this and that the porn might be easier. So I think this woman should give it a go, but I think she needs to be very careful about what they watch. But having said that, I think don't watch it if you don't want to. That's the first rule of anything to do with sex or whatever. If you're not into it, then it's your choice and you're not into it. But I think if you do decide to give it a go and watch porn, I would suggest you do some research on feminist porn. And then I would say to her lastly that Indecent Proposal is sexy, but I don't think it's that erotic.
That was a long time ago. All the texts we've got in are pointing out that exactly.
Yes. Okay.
It is that. I think fundamentally, I think that the women and men might have a different idea about what they find to be kind of sexy or what they might find turns them on. Porn is very functional, and it's very kind of wham bam thank you ma'am. Whereas with, you know, even the way that regardless of what you think about Indecent Proposal as a source of eroticism, it's narrative based, and it's a story, and it's a build up, and whereas the actual physical sex act is very practical, and there's a difference in kind of worldview there automatically. Yeah. So basically what the woman is saying is, and she's realised that what her turns her husband on is not the same as what turns her. That's always going to be, that's who they are. It's never going to be, you know, fixed by them watching the same thing, because he's
already
declined.
I'm assuming she's probably never watched porn.
Yeah, and I mean, I think there is a little bit of a kind of a pearl clutching kind of, but I think
that comes from a fear.
And it also comes from the reality, like that, you know, with all kind of respect to whoever's involved in making, you know, beautiful films of pornography, that there is, you know, a lot of background, like you've already touched on, like, are people happy to be there? Are they there for the, you know, is there a backstory that we don't know about? Mm. All that kind of stuff. But the reality of it at the end of the day is that pornography is consumed in vast amounts by society, and you're pointing out that you believe that it's mostly men. Women do use it, and they watch it, and they watch gay men having sex, they watch lesbians having sex. Sexuality is this big fluid kind of space that often we like to hide behind the neck curtains, and we don't like to actually discuss publicly what our real urges and our real kind of thoughts are. And I think sometimes, even in relationships, people don't want to pull that veil curtain back. They want to kind of maintain a certain, you know, because you never really know what people are thinking anyway, and what's in the depths of their mind. And
yeah, it could be like, I'm not going to do that. He's watching people do certain things, and she's going, whoa.
That's fair enough. I remember doing research on a book years and years ago when I started writing, and I did research on a book called What Women Want, and it was all about a study that was done in America, obviously, but it was a proper scientific study where they looked at a group of men and a group of women, of, you know, straight and gay and everything else, and the men were all only turned on by porn in that aligned with their sexuality. So straight men were only turned on by straight porn, gay men by gay porn, yada, yada. Women were turned on by everything. including like monkeys having sex with each other.
Apparently. Really?
Yeah, that lit up all the lights for the women, all kinds. So, you know, I'm just offering that as, you know.
Well,
okay, so she can offer monkey sex as a compromise.
That might make her feel better. I don't think it'll do much for him, though.
Yeah.
But it might make her feel better. As long as it's consensual sex with the monkeys, that nobody's been battered into it.
No, indeed not. Well, some have suggested maybe they need to watch Game of Thrones.
Is there loads of sex in that?
Oh, there is, yeah.
All right.
Brothers and sisters.
What was the other one? Downton Abbey, the other one.
Oh, there's no sex in Downton Abbey.
Bridgerton. Wasn't there loads of sex in Bridgerton?
Oh, there's loads of sex in Bridgerton, yeah.
Yeah, especially in the first series where that nice hunky fella.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the stairs.
Just going back to the first question, the proposal woman.
Yes.
One texter says, I waited 13 years. I'm now happily married 3 years. I am 34. So you were waiting since you were 21.
Janie Mack.
I couldn't agree more with Barbara about waiting for the man to propose. If the woman involved is too immature to discuss getting married with her boyfriend, then she's too immature to get married. Yep. I wouldn't be surprised if the man involved is only using her as a place mark someone better comes along. Well, he's mid-30s.
Oh, holy God.
I don't understand how you can stay with someone for 9 years if you wanted to get married. If you want to get married and he doesn't, then what you do, throw away a loving relationship because of an ultimatum. Never understood it. Not being married is the default. So it becomes a battle of wills. So someone buckles. Therefore, someone's unhappy, which sounds sad. Someone else says, I had to give up my daughter's long-term boyfriend.
I had to give up my daughter's
long-term boyfriend a shot up the bum to get on with the next step. They were married a year later. Wow.
Good woman, mammy.
Yeah, good woman, mammy. I proposed to my husband after 2 weeks and he accepted. We would have married immediately, but we couldn't afford it. So we did the following year. 31 years later with 3 daughters, I'm glad I proposed. When you know. Someone else says, I proposed to my husband of 32 years. He was delighted and still loves to tell the story. I, however, wish he had asked me.
Yeah.
Ah, God, Janie.
After 32 years?
Yeah, but like, seriously, what?
Gosh.
Find something useful to worry about, for God's sake. Janie.
Barbara Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.